Okay, it's February 4th, and the topic this month is From Where Things Are Now.
Good evening. Such is the nature of life, that all asked and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. When we use that and say, such is the nature of life, we mean life, the only life there is. And we call that life the life of God or the life of the universe. There is only ever one life. There's not my life and Andy's life and this life and that life or an animal's life. Everything is life. And the one life, this thing that we call God, pushes through everything. And when you give God an opportunity to appear, and that's what we are trying to do with our own selves, is give this thing called God an opportunity to appear in our lives or in our own bodies. Because there is nothing but God. There's no other thing but God. So, we are always talking about, remember we used to say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to remember that you are part of this thing called God. You are part of this thing called the universe. There is not you and God. There is you as God. There is me as God. And here comes Scott. So that's what we want to remember in this teaching. The other, if you want to talk about brand name churches and so forth, that philosophy is that there are two forces out there, that there is something going on out there, and that you are separated from this thing called God. That God is somewhere outside of you making all kinds of decisions. You are the one that's making the decisions. And you can make better decisions about your own life by coming to the realization that this thing called God is working in, as, and through you, and that you can use that power for good in your life. I often say, I don't know how to do this, but I know that you do, so you do it for me, which I absolutely firmly believe that this thing called God knows how to do things. And when I don't know how to do something, I say, I just hand it over to God, knowing that God is working in, as, and through me. So that's what this teaching is all about. It's a teaching of unity. It's a teaching that God is the only power in the universe, and that power is the power for good. There are no opposing forces in the universe. There's only one power. And we can learn to use that, and we can learn to bring that power into us so that it is working as us. So, with that said, we'll go through this. If you keep these, and Tony, I'll make sure you get them, the rest of them. This is from a little booklet called What is Metaphysics? So each week I've been just taking the different things, because Paula, at the beginning of last month, wanted to know something about metaphysics and so forth. So these are just the basic things of metaphysics, which will help you. So let's go through this. This one tonight is called Substance. Last week's was Being. Many people believe that substance is matter and that all causes are ultimately reducible to physical laws. Some people believe that there are two kinds of substance, spiritual and material, and that these substances interact in various ways, causing the world to appear as it does. Still others believe that all substance is spiritual or mind substance, and that all causes are in divine mind or human mind. And that is what this teaching is about. That mind substance in the divine mind or human mind is the only cause. Mind is causing everything. Either your mind or the mind of God is causing everything that comes into your life. Some philosophers and scientists do not believe in substance at all, but rather maintain that all is process or events. Buddhists believe in events and process. Everything is an event to them. What is happening? It's just an event. It comes into existence to go out of existence. A personal belief about substance influences how he or she approaches health and healing and the kinds of things he or she does to maintain health and experience healing. Now, a person's belief, it's always going to boil down to that, remember? It's done unto you as you believe. If you believe in two powers, then that's what you're bringing into your life. If you believe in one power, then your life will be different. But it's always done with your belief system. And you are free to believe anything that you want. This teaching does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think, which is an unusual thing because all the institutions and brand name churches want to tell you how to think. So, you must learn to think for yourself. People who believe that the universe is purely material or physical will attempt to maintain health through physical methods alone. Hence, they will consider diet, exercise, drugs, and surgery to be the key factors in health and healing. They will consider prayer, meditation, and other uses of the mind irrelevant to health. People who believe that the universe has both spiritual and physical causes will be open to physical approaches to health and to spiritual approaches, including prayer, meditation, and possibly other kinds of non-traditional healing methods. People who believe in a purely spiritual or mental universe might aim for the ideal of using only mental or spiritual methods for health purposes. And one of those particular things that believe in only spiritual healing, of course, would be Christian Science. Christian Science believes only in prayer. Religious Science believes that God is in a pill or a prayer, because God is everywhere. So God is in a pill or a prayer. Jesus healed through prayer and faith in God. His method was fundamentally a spiritual or mental method. Jesus clearly believed that the ultimate reality is spiritual. And that's what we believe. The ultimate reality is spiritual. Perhaps his consciousness of spiritual substance was so firm that when he fed the 5,000 with just a few fish sandwiches, I love that, fish sandwiches, he was actually manifesting spiritual substance through faith. The King James Bible translates Hebrews 11:1 as follows. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In fact, the Greek word translated as substance is derived from two other Greek words meaning stand and beneath. Just as our English word substance is derived from the Latin word for stand and beneath. Substance stands beneath what appears. Substance stands beneath what appears. And that brings us to the topic tonight, you see. All things seen come from things that are not seen. All things seen come from things that are not seen. Seen things disappear. Unseen things never disappear. They remain the same. Substance stands beneath what appears. Faith stands beneath our experiences. What we invest our faith in is what manifests itself in our lives. What we believe, right? It's always done unto you as you believe. So tonight's topic, from where it is now, people want to manifest something. Where is that? Where is it? It's an idea in mind. It's an idea in the mind of, in your mind or in the mind of God. Everything is already done in mind. Everything is already done in mind. So if you want a car, if you want money, if you want anything, you must get a firm idea in your mind about it. And that's where it is now. In non-substance, so to speak. It does not. It exists. But we cannot see it. All we're ever trying to do is take our ideas, use our imagination. What we are trying to do is clothe what our ideas are so that they manifest on this plane. That's in the Bible it says, it took clothes and dwelled among us. See, it was invisible. You must put the clothes on whatever you're looking for, whatever you want to manifest, and you do that with your mind. You do that with your mind. And this little title, From Where It Is Now, I told you the story about the lake shrine out in Pacific Palisades when the yogi wanted to build that and do all that. His followers said, well, where are we going to get the money to do this? And he said, from where it is now. From where it is now. So you must never allow money to become the issue. Or because you think you have to have all that stuff put together. It's already put together in mind. This idea of money, if you want to do something, and you need money, you can manifest money very easily. There's tons and tons of money in this universe. There's tons and tons of money in this world that we live in. And that's where it is now. Now you want to take that and bring it to yourself. And that's what you do. Remember I say you're always drawing things to you. You're drawing things to you. And you draw those things to you with your mind, by thinking positive about it. What is the main thing if you're going to manifest that you need to know? Four little things. Does anyone remember the four little things?
Desire?
No. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. You see, those are always, it's always going to boil down to those four things. So when you're not getting what you want from where it is now, it's because you have put a block up somewhere. You're thinking, you have to change your thinking. And you have to remove that block. And we remove that block by knowing that we are worthy to have everything. My favorite statement in the Bible is, fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. And you see, what do we always do? We fear that we are not going to get it. We fear we're not going to get it. So fear not, little flock, because it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. You must realize that this thing called God or the universe or the power, whatever you want to call it, wants to give you everything. And you do not have to prove to God why you want it. Do you remember? This happened to me when I was a child. If I wanted something, my parents would say, why? And you would have to come up with the reasons why you wanted that or why you needed that. You don't have to come up with a reason with God. You do not have to come up with a reason. I want it. That's it. And then know that all your needs are being met. That all your needs are being met. You do not have to justify it in any way, shape, or form. And that's where we get into trouble because we think, At least I get into trouble with that because of being conditioned by my family. I think, well, I have to give 10 good reasons why I want it. You don't have to give 10 good reasons why you want something. I want it. That's all you have to know. I want it. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when I told you one of the greatest affirmations that you can say to yourself is, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. People are afraid. What is the one thing that people are afraid to do because they think they're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter? They won't ask. And I learned that lesson from my brother. My brother used to get tons of things, and he would just say, I want this, and I want it now, from my mother and father, and he would get it. And he said to me, Dad, I said, how do you do that? He said, well, Dallas, if it's not worth asking for, it's not worth having. You see, you have to ask. You have to ask. So ask this thing called God, this thing called the universe. Ask for what you want. And remember that the universe is very pleased to give it to you. What we fail constantly to remember that we are the beloved, in whom this thing we call God is well pleased. God is well pleased with us. Sometimes we're not well pleased with ourselves. And that's where we get into trouble. You have to be pleased with yourself. God does not hold anything against you. We hold things against ourselves. In my family, if you made a mistake, they could remember that mistake for 30 or 40 years. And they would bring it up and tell you, do you remember when you did this? I was 6 years old. No, I do not remember this. This just brings a cute story into my mind about my mother. She used to come to visit me. And I never kept the paddle light lit on the oven. I lived in Georgia. It was always hot. And I said to her, you'll have to light the palette light. And she looked at me and she said, don't you remember, Dallas, before you were born? This is the kind of logic my mother had. Don't you remember, Dallas, before you were born? I tried to light my mother's oven and it blew me across the kitchen. Because she left it on too long. You don't turn the gas on. You light the match, put it down where it's supposed to, and then you turn the gas on. She must have turned the gas on. So, the crux of that story is this. She said, I cannot do it. I said, all well and good, Mother. That is one thing that you can't do. And now the next thing you're not going to be able to do, and the next thing you're not going to be able to do, and then I'm going to have to put you in a home. She looked at me and she said, Dallas, I'll light the oven. I'll light the oven. You have to do things for yourself. You can't let that fear. And that fear comes into us all. If we ask for something and don't get it the first time, we don't ask again. You see? We're afraid to ask. How many times have you been disappointed and so forth? Doesn't matter. Keep asking. Keep going for what you want. This thing called God wants to give it to you. Wants to give it to you. I've said many times, what we are doing is we're just rearranging things. Everything that you see, the molecules and so forth, are just rearranging molecules to make one thing into something else. That's all we're doing. It's already done in mind. So you want to, where is it? From where it is now, from where it is excuse me, where it is now, it's in mind. It's in mind at the present moment. It's invisible. Now you have to give it visibility. You have to put clothes on it. I remember telling Andy, how do you do that? Well, you visualize putting the clothes on. Why do we say putting the clothes on? That's to give it weight. You see, ideas and so forth, thoughts and so forth, they don't have weight. This plane of action that we live on is very heavy. And it's like molasses. That's why we don't fly around, you see. We're walking around with this stuff. So when you're visualizing what you want, you have to see it. And then what do you have to do? Do you remember, Andy? You have to make a hole for it to drop down to this plane of action. How many people have wonderful ideas and they live up here, all these ideas, but they never manifest anything because there's no way for them to drop down? You have to make a hole for it to drop down onto this plane of action. So that's, again, from where it is now. Do you remember that? I gave you that a long time ago. And we keep forgetting that. So everything, if you remember, everything is invisible. Everything is there. Now you want to bring it here. So you have to put weight on it. You have to put clothes on it. You have to be able to see that. Make it heavy enough. So it comes down. So it comes down. Tons of people have wonderful, wonderful ideas. And they daydream, and they see this, and they visualize, and they do all this stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going to come down to this plane of action. It doesn't have the weight to get down here. So what we are doing is adding weight to those things. So we go back again. If we're not getting what we want, we use the visualization. We make the hole so that it will come and dwell among us. See, it will dwell among you. We have to do that. But what stops us is not only the fear that we're not going to do it or we're not going to get it. We have to sit ourselves down and say, am I worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and do I matter? And with those questions, you have to see what your mind is saying to you. How many people go through those things and let their mind tell them, well, no, perhaps you're not quite ready, or perhaps you're not worthy because you did this, this, and this. Now, that's your mind keeping score. The mind of God does not keep score. It does not keep score. This St. Peter is not up there writing everything down in a book. I can assure you of that. And I was taught that as a child. Everything you did was written down. Was written down in the big book. And when you got to the pearly gates, they opened up that book and they said, do you remember this, 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 this? No, I don't. There is no book, people. There is no book. Why does God not hold anything against you? What is the one big thing that you have to remember? Families, people will hold things. But the mind of God does not hold things. Why is that? What is the thing to remember? God makes all things new. God makes all things new. God does not start and say, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and you did this, this, and this. Therefore, I have to do this, this, this. No. There's always to make all things new. You cannot drag the past. You cannot drag your mistakes. You cannot drag all that stuff with you. You just can't. You have to what? Forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. And only you can do that. Only you can forgive yourself. God is not in the forgiving business, people. When I had the church, I used to tell my members, that's probably why I don't have a church anymore, I cannot forgive you. This church cannot forgive you. And God cannot forgive you. Only you can forgive yourself. Only you can do that. But we were taught, we were conditioned, that God, if you pray long enough, God will forgive your sins. Oh, God. This is not true. I always use this illustration. I'll use it one more time because it's always very vivid in my mind. Does anyone remember the movie The Mission? And the man killed his brother, right? And then he decided he'd become a priest. And he drug all, he was a warrior, you know, with all that armor and so forth. And he kept dragging that armor behind him in a rope. And they were going through the jungle, if you could imagine, dragging this stuff. And then they had to go up this waterfall, and he's dragging this stuff. So the one priest said to the main priest, why don't you tell him to let that go? And he said, only he can do that. Only he can let go of it. What are you dragging behind you? Are you dragging your old mistakes behind you? Give that up. Give that up. What we fail always to remember is, with the knowledge you have now, you would not have made that mistake. You made that mistake because you didn't have the knowledge at the time. Now you have the knowledge. You're not going to make that mistake again, so why are you even thinking about it? What are you doing? What are you doing? How many people here let their mind take them back through the past? And the conversations, all the crap. Do you sit and read the same book over and over? Do you sit and read the same book over and over? Then why are you letting that mind tell that story over and over? It's sort of boring, don't you think? You know what the ending is. You know what happened, and so let it go. But if you keep doing that, it's like reading the same book. You've never read any other thing but that one book. And you just keep reading it and reading it and reading. Oh, yes, yeah. Let's go back to chapter one and start over again and see if something happens. Well, it's going to come out absolutely the same. God makes all things new. Your mind makes all things new when you let go of the past. When you let go of the past. The past does not exist. It only exists in your memory, in your mind. And the future does not exist. The only thing that exists is the now. And we must stay in the now. If we want to make all things new, we must start in the present moment and know that the slate is completely clean. There is nothing on the slate. But if you want to write down and read that book over and over and over and over and over and over, you're not going to get very far. You're not going to get very far. God doesn't do that. Could you imagine after all these centuries, this mind of God? Well, nothing would be new. It would just be a repeat. God does not repeat. Neither does Shakespeare, if I remember correctly. But God does not repeat. We keep repeating things because we will not allow. Somewhere along the line, we think that this thing called the past, this thing called memory, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't dwell on those things. You cannot dwell on all that stuff. You have to stay in the present moment. In the present moment. So if you want to manifest something from where it is now, you can't have all that muddling going on in your mind. Your mind must be clear. Your mind must be clear. When your mind starts to reminisce about the past and all the little things and so forth, why do you want to go down that road? Why don't you tell it to shut up? Why don't you tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came? Why do you think so many people are in therapy? They're in therapy because they're rooting around in the past all the time. Who wants to root around in the past? It's not, you're not there anymore. You're not there anymore. You have moved on. Now let your mind move on also. And here again, I'm not trying to put down talk therapy, but it does not deal with the present moment. It deals with the past. Another great saying in the Bible is this: let the dead bury the dead. All those things are dead. Why do you want to resurrect them all the time? Let them alone. They're gone. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Change your mind. Say, my past is just that. It's past. It has no influence on me whatsoever. And when your mind starts to bring all that stuff up, stop it. Stop it from doing that. But people love to reminisce. They love to tell you, this happened and that happened and da 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 da. That friend I told you about with the shoulder that I hang up on, the other night he called, he had a knee problem. And he wanted to describe the whole knee problem, how he couldn't get up off the floor, and then he crawled over to the chair, and then this happened, and that happened, and all night, and then he had to go to the bathroom, and what was he going to do, and this, that, and the other. I thought, who is interested in this? I said to him, are you all right now? And he said, yes. I said, then what's the problem? What is the problem? You know, I may do different things and so forth. I don't bore people to death with what went on. I think there's no necessity for that stuff. No necessity. He thinks it's a conversation. I don't think it's a conversation. I'm absolutely bored to death with it. You know, oh, my knee, and I forget what he called it. Now he's going to have a new knee put in. After he gets his new shoulder put in, I said to him, well, you're going to be a bionic person after a while. He's a metaphysician, by the way. At least he tells me that. I just let him go. Don't do those things to yourself. Don't do those things to yourself. So, let's come back a moment to the idea from where it is now. It is already done in mind. Everything that you could desire is already done. There is no, excuse me, doing. There is no doing. there is being. So, be what you want. Be what you want. See, we are taught that we have to keep doing and doing and doing. We believe that we have to cause something to happen. We cause nothing, people. We cause nothing. Let it come to you. Tony just said about a wonderful corner. She manifested without any effort whatsoever. Now, you could analyze that and say, oh, yeah, but somebody else did it. I don't care who did it. I don't care who does the work. If I don't have the work to do and it manifests for me, it manifested. Let me alone. I just want it. And if somebody else wants to take the credit, I don't care who takes credit for anything and who wants to go out and do the work. I'd never go looking for a car anywhere, you know. A car that I have, I just woke up and said, I'll get that car. I didn't go shopping for a car. That because I'm not interested in that type of thing. I'm not interested in that type of thing. You have to make your life effortless. And you have to allow things to come to you from where they are now. So you do that with what? Your belief system. Your belief system. And what is the one thing to remember about that? What does God do? God does not ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. That's your favorite one. And you're right also. But the one I was looking for was, God does not ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. Believe in what? Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. Sorry. I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes! So it's always going to boil down, and I know you get probably tired of hearing that. But you just have to keep saying that to yourself until it sinks into your consciousness. Until it sinks into your consciousness. It's the idea that you can give people compliments, and I absolutely believe in giving people compliments. But most people can't take a compliment because they don't think they're worthy of that compliment. You see, you have to know that, oh, I'm absolutely worthy of that. You're the one who has to do it for yourself. You see? Do these things for yourself. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, or if you're waiting for this thing called God to do it, it may be quite a while. It may be quite a while till that happens. You see? Know that what? You're being taken care of. That you're one with this power. That you're one with this thing called God. And use that. Bring all that into your life. But know that you cannot ask for anything that is impossible. Because all things are possible with God. Everything is already done in mind. Everything is where it's supposed to be. So you're just bringing the stuff from where it is now. From where it is now. It's in your mind. So you use your mind to bring what you want into your life. It's done with your mind power. And you can also, some people say, you co-create with God. Well, that's true, too, and not true, you know. You can use that. It doesn't bother me in the least. But if God's your co-pilot, what does that do? You come out with two. There can only be one. You're creating. You're creating your own life. And you can create your life the way you want it, and you can have what you want. Yes, we use the power in the universe. We use this power of God that's working in, as, and through us to do that. But we are doing it. It's a choice. Always a choice in life. You see. We can see all the bad in the world, or we can see all the good in the world. If you concentrate on all the bad, what happens? It multiplies. It multiplies. You have to think of good, and you have to allow the good to multiply in your life. And if you look around, and if you're honest with yourself, you'll see all that good. And you'll realize that you truly are being taken care of. How else can it be? You have wonderful things in your life, do you not? Where did they come from? You know, some people do not see the wonderful things in their life. They want what somebody else has, you know. Want what you have. Think about what you have and it will multiply. We'll do that, you see. It's an easy thing. So everything is already done in mind. It's already there. So all you're doing is bringing it to this plane of action from where it is now. From where it is now. If it's a job, if it's a relationship, whatever, if it's your health, whatever it is, it's already done. So it's done unto you as you believe, it's done with your faith. And you can choose to believe in a spiritual world, or you can choose to believe in a physical world, or you can choose to believe in the two worlds. But I will tell you that there is only a spiritual world. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And most people think that we are human beings having a spiritual experience. We are already spiritual. We are already spirit. When we weren't on this plane of action, when we were just floating around, so to speak, we decided to incarnate on this planet. We are the ones who chose to come here. And why did we choose to come here? One of the main things, I think, that we chose to come here was to learn how wonderful and powerful and creative we are. You see. We're learning that every day. I'm a very powerful being. A very powerful being. And I can draw into my life what I want. And I draw into my life what I want by using my mind, my mental faculties. So I control my thinking. I see what I want. And I hold that vision long enough for it to get heavy enough to drop down onto this plane of action. And it will drop down onto this plane of action. It will do that for you. So don't allow your mind or your conditioning from the past to tell you differently, to be the thing that's causing your life. You are causing your life yourself in this moment. Say, in the moment. Power, any power that there is only in the moment. You have no power in the past and you have no power in the future. They do not exist. The only thing that exists is this moment. When you came through the door, that was that moment. Now it's this moment. You can't go back to that and say, oh, well, I'll create back there. No, you have to create from this moment. All power is in the present moment. And this thing that we call God, we call the living God because it lives in the moment. It lives in the moment. There is no time in the mind of God. There is no age in the mind of God. You think, some people think, God's a very old man. You know, God can't be a very old man. Because God, if you stay in the moment, you're not going to age. If you stay in the moment, you're not going to age. There's a theory, whether it's true or not, that we only age because we see other people doing it. So we follow suit. Because other people do it, and we say, oh, why? They're getting old, we must be getting old also. Well, how can you get old if there's only the present moment? There's only the present moment. So remember that, and use that, and say, this is the moment where everything is crystal clear to me. There is no past, there is no present, there are no mistakes. There's nothing to forgive in the present moment. Therefore, my vessel, meaning my thinking, my consciousness, is empty, is clear. You have to have an empty, clear vessel to be able to manifest things. But if your vessel is loaded with mistakes from the past and with this and that and whatever else goes on in there, it becomes difficult to do those things. It becomes difficult to do those things. And those things don't exist anyway. They're gone. They're gone. What you did when you were a child, it's gone. It's not there anymore. Don't carry it with you. And you are the only one that can do that. You are the only one that can forgive yourself. You're the only one that can say, I will bring it to me now from where it is. From where it is. Knowing that everything is already done in mind, that all I have to do is bring it to this plane of action. And I will draw it to me with my thinking. I will think positive thoughts about myself. I will fall in love with myself. When I fall in love with myself, I'm falling in love with God. Because loving yourself is the highest form of worship that you can give God. The highest form of worship. So bring all those things from where they are now into your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.